This call is being recorded.
John Hargrave from Bitcoin Market Journal, talking with our analyst Jessica Radella about Stellar. Jessica.
Great, thank you. So today we're going to talk about Stellar. You know, really a lot of people look at this as a fork of Ripple. And so we're going to look at what makes Stellar unique and how it competes with the Sphere. So Stellar's goal is really to rethink how people interact with payment systems and banks. And at a high level, it's connecting bank payment systems, people all around the world. So it's designed to make it easy for financial institutions to issue tokens that represent fiat currencies and provide an affordable way for individuals to achieve financial independence and access those funds. So they're really hoping to be the future of banking. And if you look on their, you know, website, they even can envision this in the future becoming a practical solution to things of poverty and climate change and all these lofty goals. So we'll dive into it a little bit. It did fork from Ripple in 2015. If we look at who the customers are, it's really anyone that wants to create customized ICOs and anyone who wants to transact and use currency. So they have a wide customer base here. The value story behind this, they have their own built-in distributed exchange. They can convert cross-border currency. There's high liquidity. Performance here is a huge difference. It is going to simplify the process of how individuals transact money with that speed. And I think I read somewhere that the settlement times, you know, it's going to drop these transaction orders from 3 to 5 days to 3 to 5 seconds. So that's huge. When we look at liquidity, there's a lack of buyers and sellers in the market for certain currencies. So it makes it difficult to trade. And so what Stellar is doing is they're bridging that currency gap to increase liquidity and really make that easier. So for value, I do see a lot of value behind this. This is a new market. And of course, it is a highly regulated space. When we look at market barrier to entry, we'll look at some of the economics behind this. The threat of new entrants, this is a really competitive space. There's a lot of players in the field. In terms of substitutes, I think the biggest competitor here really is Ripple. When we look at the technology, it's essentially the same. And the difference here is that Stellar is really decentralized, and it's got a different market focus. Ripple is really for banks, whereas Stellar is working with banks, but for the people. So yes, there are substitutes, but I think that there is a differentiator here.
And do they have any bank kind of prototype customers on board, which I know Ripple has already partnered with about a dozen or more banks to use the technology?
Yeah, and we can get into that when we go down towards some of the networking team, but they do have their own network. They have a pretty impressive backing of a lot of partners, including IBM, but I can dive into that when we get down there. But there's just a lot of differentiators, even though they do use similar technology. And I think here, one of the things we have to consider is the degree of control that customers have on the market itself. And for that, they do have a lot of control because they have to choose whether or not to adopt Stellar. And that's going to be the big game changer here, because the competition here is Ripple. So a lot of individuals are leveraging Ripple. And what's going to determine whether or not Stellar is successful is whether or not the customers want to adopt it.
So to be clear, with Ripple, the bank, it would be a banking side solution. The banks would make the decision to use the technology to better enable payments using the blockchain. And with Stellar, the consumers would have control and would decide whether they want to adopt this technology for their payments.
Exactly.
Great.
Yep. So when we look at the competitive advantage, you know, the lead time here isn't as strong because it is a fork of Ripple. So they are leveraging that same technology. It's a plus and a minus. You know, the technology is strong, so they're leveraging it. It's a good technology, but their lead time advantage isn't as strong as Ripple's. But when we look at the contacts and networks here, like you mentioned before, they have a partnership with Stripe. So Stripe invested significant amount of money into Stellar, which is huge for them. And they also have partnerships with WordPress, IBM, and AngelList. So the network is very strong. When we look at the management team, you know, we have Jed McCaleb, who's the creator of Mt. Gox before it was, you know, transferred over and the code was redesigned and hacked. But, you know, we have a very intelligent, capable entrepreneurial team behind this. When we look at the technical experience, it's extensive in crypto and business. And I think one of their head developers, Bartek Nowotarski, has a master's in computer science. So that's a plus as well. And when we look at the integrity, I think this is the biggest plus of Stellar as a whole is, you know, it's been made open source to encourage adoption of the platform. And now I guess we can go over to the token itself. When we look at the token, the Lumens, which is the name of the Stellar token, really are going to be used to help facilitate trades between currencies that have less liquidity. The concern I have here is that there might not be that much demand for the token itself, because if you look at the white paper, a person really only needs 20 Lumens to transact. So there's not a real reason to hold or buy large quantity of the token. And some might say, well, yeah, there's a fixed supply of this. But if you look at it, the fixed supply is 103 billion, but there's only 18 billion that are in circulation. So, you know, there's 85 billion more that can reach the market and devalue this. And the Lumens are going to be added at 1% each year. But I think that supply is a bit of a concern for me, as well as the demand, given the fact that you don't need that large quantity of them to really transact on the network. That being said, you can access this, you know, Binance, you can buy this many of the other exchanges. And there is a product that exists. The first ICO was called Mobibus. I might be pronouncing that wrong, but it acts as a middleware ICO. So it is functioning, which is great. When we go down to startup strategy, or user interface rather, the technical difficulty of this, again, kind of difficult. I gave it a 3.5. It's new-ish. You know, it's different than Ripple, but it's still, you know, not the first in the space. And the buzz factor, there are a lot of people talking about this on Reddit, Twitter, a lot of followers. So they get a 5 for that. When you look at the overall score, I think this is more of a short-term potential here. I gave it a 4.3 for short-term and then a 3.8 in long-term, just because it's really, it's going to depend on whether or not customers want to adopt this. I think that there are a lot of other things out there, and in the short term there's a lot of buzz around it and it seems really great, but it's hard to determine whether or not this is something that will be successful long term.
There are many, many other crypto payment solutions hitting the market, that's for sure, but the fact that this is open source and that this is from a team that's been in this space so long are points in its favor. So time will tell.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Thanks, Jessica.
Great. Thank you.